Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. A week or so ago, I had the honor of guest hosting Best Innovation Group's CU Digital Town Hall, and our guest on the town hall was Stickley on Security's Jim Stickley. And in this clip, we talked about the latest trends in phishing attacks on credit unions, so check it out. Hey, before we get on with today's episode, I want to let you know about CU Mutual Group's upcoming 2020 Discovery Conference coming up actually on August 13th. This free online conference is designed to help boost your strategic planning with timely information, innovative ideas, and key insights. So don't miss this opportunity to attend. Click on the banner below the show notes to register, and I'll see you there. Now on with the show. Yeah, a lot of phishing, a lot of fraud going on. So I think you wanted to start out with phishing attacks on the rise. So how bad is it? How bad is it out there right now, Jim?
It's crazy, man. I mean, you know, there's always phishing and it's always out of control. But right now, it is it's exponentially worse. I know it's been a while now. They put out a report a little less than a month ago, and they said that they were seeing a 600% increase in phishing, which is bananas because it was already really bad. So. Yeah, I think that it's basically kind of the perfect storm. I mean, there's a lot of people that are home bored, and that includes cyber criminals. And I mean, you're just sitting around with nothing better to do. You might as well start sending out phishing emails. So it's gotten out of control.
So is there anything in particular or popular type of phishing attacks going on right now? What's kind of hit the top 10? Well, I want to see the top 10.
The hot spot? Yeah. It's you know, shockingly, it's COVID-related stuff,
oh, really?
For sure. It's like the big one. The first time it was going around, it was all about like, hey, your neighborhood's gotten really bad. Click here to get an update, you know, and it would look like it came from health officials or something. And so, you know, you'd be like, oh, no, it's spreading in my neighborhood. Well, now, obviously, it's spread everywhere. So that one's kind of not as cool. So now the new one is the COVID tracers. And so basically what that email says, and this one's, I mean, really, really successful. We just did a segment for a TV show because people just fall for it so easily. And basically you receive an email that looks like it comes from some health department, CDC or your state health department. Yeah. And it says basically that you've come in contact with somebody that was infected with COVID. And now they're doing their, you know, notification, basically the quarantine notification. And so they'll give you a case reference ID number. They'll tell you that, you know, obviously you need to be quarantined. They'll give you some other warnings about stuff going on. And then there's always either a link or an attachment. And the link basically says, hey, you know, to pull up your full account information regarding your particular case, click on this link. So if people receive this, they go, holy crap, you know, I might have COVID. You know, that's not a good day. And so they click on the link to find out more about their particular case. Or there'll be an attachment. And again, the same thing, if you open the attachment, you know, any of these things is sending you to a malicious site somewhere where they're either going to put malware or do something bad. So that is by far the most popular one. The secondary one is anything related to Black Lives Matters. There's a lot of scams going around with those. Some of them are anti, some of them are pro. Doesn't really matter. You know, they send them all out, shotgun approach, assume that you're either for or against it.
Yeah.
And then they'll have links either that are supposedly inflammatory things, you know, watch this video, learn about this. In your neighborhood, this is taking place. A protest is coming up. Be aware of riots, you know, warnings, like anything they can do to try to drive people to go, oh, I'm interested in that. And again, click those links or open those attachments.
And then they get their information and then it's open season on those folks? Or what's the goal
there? It depends on what they want to do. So sometimes it'll be for information. With the COVID ones, it's really easy to get the information because you'll send them to a website and on the website, they have to validate who they are. So they've got their case number, but they have to type in their social security number to confirm who they are. That's a real simple way to steal that. With the Black Lives Matters, more of them are about malware. So those are generally, you go to a malicious site and it's trying to exploit code in your computer, a vulnerability, or the attachments are malware and you double click on them and it's installing malware on your computer. So that's generally what we're seeing with the Black Lives Matters ones.
Gotcha. So what happens to people who fall victim to these phishing attacks? I mean, we've heard horror stories, but from your perspective, what happens?
Yeah, I mean, generally, it's going to be one of two things. It's either going to be you're going to have information stolen, which is what we just talked about with the social security numbers, that type of stuff, or credit card information you have to put in, whatever it is there. And then the other one is the malware. And the malware, I mean, for right now, it seems to be the big one, obviously, is ransomware. And everybody's pretty familiar with that now.
Oh, yeah.
But what's changed with ransomware is it used to be primarily targeted to either people at home or healthcare. That was the two, like, that were just getting beaten up. But because they were having so much success, criminals have realized, why not just start manipulating the code to be designed for specific verticals, for specific industries? So Honda was a great example of this. Up until Honda was attacked, no one had ever seen ransomware that was designed to go after industrial complex at an industrial level, where it could take literally taking the robotics down and things like that. That's totally new. Wow. So what criminals are starting to do is they're starting to learn the industry. So if they're going after banking, for example, they're starting to figure out, okay, we get on a computer, we start monitoring what's happening in that network, and we learn about the network itself, what systems are using, what, you know, their core processor, you know, these different things. And then they manipulate their malware to actually start compromising those systems and locking them down and placing ransomware. So the actual infrastructure gets affected. So it's no longer just, hey, I locked out some tellers from their computer. It's now we're taking down actual infrastructure that runs the entire organization. Mm. So there's a really big shift in how ransomware is being deployed.
So speaking of deploy, I mean, so how can I tell the difference between a safe email and a fake email? I think that's probably one of the most common questions you get, but it's still appropriate, right?
Yeah, I mean, and the sad thing is that that's probably the number one question, and there is no answer. It's literally impossible now. And so many times you talk to people, and especially like when I've gone out to scam people, and afterwards you talk to them and you go, okay, so you know, what caused you to click on, what did you do? You know, and they go, oh, well, I thought it was safe because dot, dot, dot. And everybody has this idea in their head, like, oh, when I look at an email, I look and I see, does it come from somebody I know? Does it reference my full name? Does it reference things about me? Like, they have this criteria in their head and they kind of check the boxes, and if it meets those checks, they go, oh, it must be real. And the reality is, an unsolicited email from anybody saying anything can be malicious. And criminals are really good about figuring out how to make them look real. You know, nowadays they obviously always will have your name. Oftentimes they'll reference your specific job. They'll come from a coworker, a loved one. They have things in there that just make them seem very, very real. I mean, I did a demo when I was still able to do live demos where I was using people's Facebook information and basically pulling their friends out of their Facebook, you know, page, and then pulling pictures that included their friends. And then I would email them. So now I'd have a picture of them with their friend in the email, and I'd say like, oh my gosh, this was such a fun time. I just came across this picture. So people would receive this and they would go, oh my God, I mean, like, this has to be a real email. It's coming from my friend. It has a picture of us together. And then they would click the link, open the attachment, whatever, and it was easy picking. So there is no such thing. To me, if you receive an unsolicited email and there's a link to click or an attachment to open, text the person, you know, hey, I'm actually getting a phone call right now. don't text them when they're calling. So just take 1 second and confirm who they really are, if they really sent it or not. If they actually did send it, great. If they didn't, then you've stopped it from happening. And I know it's a pain, and you know, people aren't going to do that every single time, but that's the best advice I can give. An unsolicited email, an unsolicited meaning, you know, if I'm talking to you and you say, hey, Jim, I'm going to send you a file right now or a document or something, I go, okay, and I get it. Obviously, I was expecting it. We're all cool. But if I just get some random thing, I'm not clicking the links or opening the attachments. I'm just not doing it.
Yeah. And then double check with the person if you have their phone number. You give them a quick call. Hey, is this for real? Okay.
Yeah, because I figure if it's important, like a lot of times I just ignore emails. And if they're important, eventually the person's going to pick it up the phone and call me. And I figure if it's that important, they'll call. Otherwise, they probably didn't need me anyway, and it'll be fine.
Good point. Hey, you talked about attachments. So a lot of us get PDFs, Word docs, all that type of stuff. What's safe, what's not safe, or can you even tell?
No, that's a great question. There, like, everybody, again, has this idea of, okay, like, obviously, you know, hopefully everybody knows PDFs are very bad. I mean, there's just malware that's spread through PDFs constantly. It can be in Word docs and everything else. But the reality is there is no such thing as a safe attachment. And I mean, I guess, you know, you can definitely make an argument and go, oh, well, I've never seen a .txt file that was exploiting people. And I would say, yeah, I agree. As of right now, I don't remember any vulnerability for a .txt file, but that doesn't mean tomorrow there won't be some new exploit against WordPad or Notepad that now can be exploited through a .txt. So just because you haven't heard of a vulnerability today doesn't mean there won't be one tomorrow. So again, attachments are the devil. That's the ones that, I mean, that's the easiest way to spread the malware. I mean, for me, whenever I'm trying to break into anything, I use attachments more than anything else, because if I can get someone to double click on that attachment and spread my malware that way, it's so fast, it's so easy, and it's a quick way to get into their system. So
I mean, I can't tell you how, I mean, I get tons of attachments all day long.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, but it's like you said, it's usually people that I know and I know it's coming. So, but it's, yeah, the ones that I don't know,
not it's really so them. Hard because let's say you're on a mailing list, right? And then the mailing list, they say, they send you something, or you're a partner with a company and then they send you an attachment, a PDF. I mean, people send PDFs all day long, every day. Mm-hmm. It is really, really hard to just say, well, I'm never going to open any of those because you're friends with these. But at the same time, there's so much risk with them. I mean, if you have a choice, open it up on like a Chromebook or on a tablet or a mobile device, way more secure to open up attachments through your mobile devices than it would be through a PC.
Good to know. How about like credit union to member communication? Sometimes there's attachment. I mean, how does that whole thing work? Or do you even this touch that one?
Yeah, this is such a loaded question. I don't envy credit unions and I don't envy the members because you are in this really weird place where it's very difficult to know. Like, obviously, the marketing arm of the credit unions, they want to be sending stuff out all the time with links and all this other stuff in there.
Yeah.
And then the security side saying, we can't be sending all this out because that's basically sending a mixed message. We're telling people on one side, don't trust links, and then we're sending them links and we're sending them.
Exactly.
It's so hard. I'll tell you, like, here's what we do, and it was relatively inexpensive for us to create. We just created it ourselves. It's not that hard to implement. We actually created a verification phrase. So when all of our customers sign up, and like, for example, we send out education to all of our customers. So we have thousands of people that receive emails, and in those emails, there's a link. Well, clearly, that's we're doing the exact thing we tell people never to do. So what we did was we said, okay, every single employee, when they sign up in our system, they create a verification phrase, an actual phrase that they type in. From then on, every email we send them includes that phrase at the top of the email. If they ever receive an email from us that does not have that phrase, they know, don't click links, don't do anything. And we reiterate it every single time we send them a message.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we teach them, look for this phrase. So if you did something like that, it makes it really simple because if I don't see my phrase, I know I'm not supposed to click on it and I can feel safe. On the other hand, if I do see my phrase, that phrase I created only for this one site. It's very unique. It's very specific. A criminal is not going to have that. There's no way they're going to guess that. Mm-hmm. So it gives people a way to be able to trust that they are receiving it truly from us. So credit unions could do the exact same thing. It wouldn't be hard to implement. You could just tie it directly into your online banking or something. And yeah, that would be one way to do it and make people feel a little bit more comfortable when they are receiving emails.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, the reason why I asked that question is because when the whole COVID thing hit, it's like everyone was sprinting to digital. I mean, the whole in-person thing is gone. Well,
yeah.
I mean, for the most part, but we're trying to gradually reopen, but everything was digital. So this is the way the communication has been. So I'm just, you know,
yeah,
obviously
I mean,
the benefits and the risks, you know, where's the balance, that type of stuff. So
with us moving to this, I mean, that just means that, you know, credit unions are gonna have to up their game. I mean, they're gonna have to implement, you know, it doesn't have to be the solution we do, but it's going to have to be something because you've got to give people a layer of security there. And it can't just be, oh, we send encrypted messages, because encrypted messages is nothing more than an email with a link that you click to go to a website to then get mm-hmm. the message, but you're still sending the link. It's got to be something where they can actually trust and validate that that email is legitimately being sent from that credit union.
Yeah. How about antivirus software? Does it prevent your computer from being compromised, or is it the fail safe?
I guess I equate antivirus to like a lock on your front door. Like, you generally lock your door when you leave, but by no means do you think you've now kept burglars out of your home. Like, it's better to have it than not have it, but yeah. Antivirus is only an initial level. Obviously, I mean, look at, there's just about every computer generally has antivirus, and yet there's a ton of malware that's still spreading all the time. So it's one of those things where you should have it. I don't think, I would never recommend not having it. But by no means, don't hang your hat on that one, that now you're secure and you don't have to worry and just start, you know, randomly clicking on everything on a porn site. You're probably going to get hacked.
Yeah, so false sense of security for sure.
Yeah. That's.